Hey friends, welcome to the Bullhawk Sports Show, second part of our 50th episode, and this is TG Hawk, joined by my co-host, DJ Vanity the Bull, and a very special guest, former SoCal Catch public relations intern, star basketball player for Cornell University of Chicago, and now working at a tire company, Neil O'Donnell. How are you doing, Neil?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yep, very excited to talk about the Chicago Bulls and basketball as a whole, because I know that's one of your specialties.
Yep, big Bulls fan ever since D-Rose, before that, the Kirk Heinrich days, living in Chicago. It's an honor, man.
I concur. I'd be the same, and I would say for all three of us, we have been for some time, so
yeah,
always ready to talk about that. And yeah, the Bulls have been, if we might have discussed that, Eric is one of our core teams that we always make sure to discuss. So.
Yes, evidenced by the name of the show.
Right.
Well, one of the major talking points for this conversation is the NBA draft took place on Wednesday night. The Chicago Bulls had the 4th overall pick. And before we break down who they chose, Neil, if you were following along, was there someone that you thought we should draft, or what are your thoughts on like the pick?
So I think when we first talked, I had to take a little breather, because when I first heard about it, I was beyond pissed. I was watching it, and me and my buddy from work, we were talking the whole day. We're like, this is what's going to happen. You know, he's a Blazers fan, but he was still playing along with me. He's like, yeah, this is what's going to happen. I was like, we're going to trade up. We're going to go to number 2. We're going to draft LaMelo Ball or James Wiseman, and we're just going to be dominant. And we got a new coach, new GM. It's going to be great. And then the Warriors get up, and Wiseman gets picked. And I'm like, okay. All right, so number 3 gets up, and then it's LaMelo, and I'm like, are you serious? And then the 4th gets up, and I'm seeing on Twitter, we're going to draft some guy that's never started a game? And I was like, what? Patrick Williams. And I was so heated, I turned off the draft, I went to sleep. But then I woke up, and, you know, when you're a sports fan, you can't just be negative. So I was like, yeah, you know what, I'm all in on Patrick Williams now. I think it's not really a great pick past 3. I think that there's just 3 superstars. I mean, what do you guys think? What do you guys think about the 4th pick?
Yeah.
CJ?
Yeah, I agree. This draft is pretty, there's a lot of good players, not like stars and
lackluster.
I don't know, lackluster. They've been saying it's probably one of the weakest drafts since the Anthony Bennett draft, but I don't know if it's that weak. That wasn't a very good draft at all. But
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we had some options, and I admit that I had a similar reaction when they chose Patrick Williams, because, let's see, I think it was Tuesday, I listened to the Bulls Talk podcast on NBC Sports. I listened to that one pretty often, and it was Jason Goff, Casey Johnson, and Ron Schaefer, and Casey Johnson, they did like a kind of a mock draft. So they brought in beat writers from Charlotte, Golden State area, the Bay Area, and Minnesota. And then they drafted, and they already off the board was James Wiseman, LaMelo Ball, and Anthony Edwards. So they said to Casey Johnson, who will the Bulls choose? And he said Patrick Williams. I was like, who? I never heard of that man. I never heard of Patrick Williams. And the other two did not say Patrick Williams. So I was like, who the heck's Patrick Williams? So
right,
tough,
and then
though.
You watch him, and he's actually pretty good, like, when you watch him. So you're like,
right.
Okay, I mean, I really hope you pan out, because you look like you could be something.
Yeah, I think he was a guy that there was no buzz at all until, like, the last days before the draft.
Right, no buzz. Like, we didn't even have an idea who we were drafting, and that... In the past, if you would have done that to me, I would have said the Bulls are screwed because of who their, you know, front office was.
Right.
That's right.
I agree.
They're coming from, I don't know, from Florida State. Florida State Seminoles. How prestigious be though? Yeah, he. Yeah, it definitely sounds like he is above decent. The highlights that we were able to see during the draft was it looks promising to me. I will say I was on the same level at the same time. I was being optimistic. I believe it was a decent enough pick. Of course, not what we have liked or maybe predicted. So yeah, it's that mystique right there that we're worried about right now. I could see it. I guess the small issue is just being able to put him how he fits in, especially being a small forward and also being very young as well, like how right. Wendell Carter Jr. 2 years ago. Like we discussed off there, CJ, that it's only been 2 years, so it's felt longer. And yeah, and Leonard Carter is actually 21 years old as of now, and he's very good. So who knows if he's gonna be able to be a starter right here? I would assume that he will. Based on how he is, it looks unlikely. It is quite a high pick, so and he. Based on his look and, being 6'8", he could be a force. And I will say also that I was excited, towards after the draft. I was tuning into the news for a little bit and saw that he, even though he went to Florida State, he went to high school in Charlotte, as he is from, and he's actually buddies with Coby White.
Mm.
So that shows a little promise that we can work well with him. One of the fastest rising stars today, right? So,
yeah, I mean, we hope so. Hopefully, that it's Coby White is giving some good intel for us, and he's not being biased.
I say he will, and especially with the new front office that we've been discussing this whole year, really. We're actually concerned about when that news came that it's potentially Coach Boylan will keep it, a little bit longer at least, because of COVID. And basically right after a week or so, started hearing more of this possible candidates, and we got. What we got today.
Yeah, let's move on to the next part. We talked a little bit about Patrick Williams. Let's move on. Now that we have a better feel of the roster, they did some non-tendering with Chris Dunn and Shaq Harrison. And then we have some free agents and Adam Akoka, some other free agents. Where do you think that Pat Williams is going to be inserted into the lineup, do you think, off the bench? How many minutes, or a little bit about what his role will be in year one?
I think that, I don't really know what I think. I don't think he's going to be a starter. He might start, but I definitely don't think he's going to progress right away. I think he's going to, his potential, he said that he compares himself to Kawhi. I like to think he's going to get there. I think he's just going to be a great glue guy, and he's going to help. He's lanky. He can play defense. Looks like he can shoot spot-up threes. He's not going to be a guy that's going to go get a bucket. So he's going to fit really well, especially if we decide that Zach LaVine is our guy, because it looks like that's the way it's going, and we need some defenders that are going to be 3-and-D, and, he fits that. I mean, Wendell Carter, you have Markkanen, and then you have Patrick Williams, all three of those, and then you have Coby White and LaVine. I mean, I like those five. I just don't know about our depth, so I can't even say that he's going to come off the bench, because, who's going to start in front of him? I don't know.
Yeah. DJ Benny Bull and I talked off air that once they gave Otto Porter Jr., he opted in, betting he'll start, but I am not 100% sure he will.
And what did you say?
Otto Porter Jr. It looks like he's coming back.
Especially since he's a vet. He's a veteran. So yeah, he's gonna be good. And then and Valentine as well, by default, as well as the longest tenured Bull. We were discussing a little bit yesterday. So yeah, and especially being you know, number four, that's a good place, you know, in the picks. So like, yeah, we'll have to see with that. I would just want to say one more thing about how VP Karnisovas, he sees that he has high potential, and he's someone that number four could make an impact. And like I said, with the defense, they have that in him. So that's backed up by him. I guess that's a big reason why we chose someone in that department.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Right. And, so yeah, we also have the number 44 pick as well, who also knew who he is. And of course, he said OP, staying with the Bulls as well.
I don't even know the second guy we drafted, because I was so mad about the first. I didn't even look through the draft, and I'm usually all in on looking through the drafts and stuff.
I think his name was, like, Marko Simonovic.
Simonovic.
Yeah.
Out of a place, a club called Mega Baymax.
I've never heard of him, sorry.
Club in Serbia. So he's an international big man in Serbia. And, but yeah, they called it the most interesting kind of service made in second round. One big reason that in addition to where he came from, the Joker, Nikola Jokic of the Nuggets, also came from there. He played some international ball over there before going pro. So there's that connection right there with the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's going to be doing what Mirotić did, and he's going to just be like a stash him to the side kind of guy for now.
That's what they referred him as. They said he was a stash pick.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting that they're going to do that again.
Yeah, for sure. And I didn't see what year he is. I'm sure he's also...
I assume he's young.
As well. And yeah, this is just a young core that we have, and the trend continues.
Right.
And yeah, we believe in the future, and still we miss. I don't know. I always think of how we can have, like, I mean, it's not attainable. We have Anthony Davis here in the Bulls, and you know, someone that's from Chicago, or like, you know, Kendrick Nunn. The Miami Heat, for example, like, I believe that definitely adds something. So yeah, those two are not going to happen.
That's a nice dream, but...
Yeah, I mean, I wish, but it doesn't look too promising in that regard.
No.
Right. Yeah, and we can say, like, we can have someone that's superstar, like CP3, that's not happening anymore. And we said off there that we... want to have liked that. We agree that since he is you know, being over 30, that, like, maybe, you know, it won't fit well with how the Bulls are on right now. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that they could probably benefit from having a vet, someone like Gordon Hayward. And this was my master plan. I thought they should have traded up for the 2 pick. And they should have drafted LaMelo, because that's who the Hornets wanted. And the Hornets, I don't know if they necessarily would have drafted Wiseman, or if they would have tried to trade back. But then we would have twisted their arm into us, them trading to 4. So we go up to 2, and we give Wendell Carter and our pick, the 4th pick, to Golden State. And then in my head, I think LaVine can be a franchise player to certain people. So... I don't like him as my franchise player, but, I mean, he's still a beast. So I say we traded him and maybe some future picks, and we get the 3rd pick. So then we get out of the draft with Wiseman and LaMelo, and then we sign someone like Gordon Hayward, and he just helps progress along LaMelo, Wiseman, Markkanen, and Kobe White. And then it's Chicago. We're going to be able to land a big free agent in the next couple years if you have that core. So that's my thought. That's what I thought, but it also could go very wrong.
That's actually a very interesting hypothetical. Obviously, it didn't happen. We chose Pat Williams, but that's an interesting one, though.
Right. Can it still happen?
I don't know. And I love LaMelo Ball. I'm all in on LaMelo Ball. And I hated him because of his dad. And
me too.
Thought he was overhyped in high school. Everyone was talking NBA.
Give him a chance.
How are you going to say this guy's NBA? Like, he was a little kid playing on a stacked team. And then he grew. And then I saw his handles and his playmaking. And I'm like, this dude's a beast. 6'7" point guard. I think he's better than Lonzo. He's going to be. Not now. And you get James Wiseman. I think those two are going to be, and Anthony Edwards, those are going to be three studs in the future. And then there's probably going to be some that are studs in, like, the lottery, like there always is. But, I mean, any one of those three, I was like, the Bulls, please. And they just can't ever be sexy in the draft. It's against their will.
True that. And actually, those are the words that here, local ABC7, Gene Greco, who was covering the draft, of course, for the Bulls, and that's the exact words he used.
He said that they can't be sexy in the draft.
Right. It's like,
I swear to God. So crazy that they just refuse to make a pick that the fan base is just going to be like, hell yeah, about. Even if it doesn't work out, like, think about the Bears. It's Chicago sports. The Bears dropped Trubisky, and everybody in the world was like, what did you just do? And then we talk ourselves into the pick, and then we're miserable for 5 years when it doesn't work out. Like, it works. It's cycle.
The cycle. Yeah, right. I have my views on that. And I don't know. It's a pattern with them. And I don't know. They don't want to be, like, diverse. We'll save that for another.
Yeah, exactly.
Another discussion. Like, yeah, I mean, they tend to pick, you know, I guess they have that certain look to them. They'll have to be like that, you know, like very exciting or have a you know, good stats or whatever. Like, you know, they pick them.
Right.
They pick them right. So, I was about to say with Jay Cutler was. Pick 11, round 1, 2006. Yeah, so another pattern.
Well, we didn't even draft Cutler.
We didn't draft Cutler.
We somehow got him back in.
We traded for
09, right? Yeah.
We traded.
And it's like we
Broncos.
Shit on him, but I wouldn't trade the world to get him back.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think a pattern that Bulls like is we like high energy guys who work like big work ethic guys like Wendell Carter and Kobe White, and now Pat Williams supposedly is a big work guy, like he very strong drive. But we'll see.
I know it's early with Kobe White. Do you believe I know you're sort of high that you said you want to pick LaVine as your guy. Which would you put the next obvious choice in Kobe White being the guy?
I mean, I think Kobe White is an absolute animal, and I don't know why he didn't play a lot. I think we had the world's worst NBA coach of all time last year, and Kobe White is a steal. I mean, we got him at 7. He is an energy guy that can shoot and play defense, and he is like, I think he legit is the future of our team, but we'll see if they think that. It doesn't matter what I think. He's got to get the opportunity and grow as well.
That's true, that.
I agree. I'm a big Kobe White fan.
Yeah, so am I. And, I was just going to see how he was drafted because he was quite high up there as well, and he's lived up or exceeded expectations right, for us, and being number zero, right, from last year. He's been around for not very long, the seventh overall, and you know, we'll see how you know matches up. We compare it to, you know, Pat to Kobe right now, and definitely Kobe does, it does help. He has more accolades, and you know, just the six man label, right, for
right.
Williams is scaring, you know, fans away. And especially, you know, what's going on for him with being attached with college basketball, being a Tar Heel, being compared to Jordan, too. That's a big, you know,
yeah,
shoes to fill, if you will.
No, so, for sure. I mean, it's the guy's, I think he's an animal. I watched him when he played. I went to the Knicks Bulls game last year instead of memory on my Snapchat the other day. And he hit like 8 threes or something, and it's just like, this guy's unconscious. And it was the one that Roy Williams was at, and Roy Williams was, it was insane. It was
oh,
the
I
coolest thing
guy.
I've ever seen in person.
Yeah, I've been quite in quite a few games last year as well. Definitely missed being there. And the last time when times were simpler, I got a chance to celebrate my birthday. They had a you know, Valentine's weekend and birthday weekend for me back in February, being able to be at the UC, you know, that was, who would have thought that we would be in position that we're
yeah.
in right now, and
right.
Yeah, and before that, getting to go to games is definitely very, it's an experience that, you know, you don't ever, like, forget, and being able to see, you know, moments like that, and, you know, whether they're based at Lakers or, you know, you get to see those stars and, like, you know, guys like Kobe White being doing their, you know, threes and setting that record, right? Most three-pointers in a single quarter he's had against the Knicks I have right here. That was, ironically, a year ago from November 12, 2019, 7 three-pointers in the fourth quarter against the Knicks. So, and I'm so happy. In September, he was, there's actually the Run With Us series real quick that, you know, he was named that 2019-20 NBA All Rookie Second Team by the organization. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's definitely worth watching, them being, quarantined, if you will.
Right.
So, you know, practicing, and we heard about the second. I actually wanted to get your opinion on having that second bubble. I know it's not going to happen because that season looks like it's going to happen next month. What would the second bubble look like? Where were you for it? You know, since teams like the Bulls weren't within the NBA's so-called bubble or restart?
No, honestly, I didn't want, like, well, I wouldn't want it because, first of all, if I'm an NBA player, I don't want it because it's just like, why get hurt if you're telling me I can't even make the playoffs and I'm in this other bubble? Like, what am I playing for? It's almost like that's like a rec league thing to do, or like a little kid kind of participation thing to do. Like, you didn't earn it, so you don't get to play. And I think that was good that they didn't let that happen because contract reasons, for injury reasons, but just also like, that would have been terrible basketball to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I was against it.
Yeah, it just wasn't. I just didn't really like the idea. And I could be wrong. Like, obviously, they're NBA athletes. They're going to want to compete. And maybe it would have been better because there's no pressure. And a lot of young teams usually are the ones that aren't winning. So, I mean, I could be wrong. But I wouldn't have been interested. And I really don't watch NBA as much as I would, like, usual basketball players do, but, I mean, I definitely would not be watching that.
Right, yeah, it'll always be, like, you know, something on the side, and, you know, kind of, you know, like that. And, yeah, I was leaning towards being against it. I wouldn't have mind seeing someone, though, like, you know, they would have shortened it, you know, it would have been,
right.
You know, gone into probably, like, this month or something. So, yeah, they're still practicing, you know, Advocate Center, where they mainly train here in Chicago, mm-hmm. and Yeah, keeping up with that. It looks like they're happy with the who's in charge. Not you know, I see them more involved, going you know places to them, whether it's playing golf or like you know, just you know, staying in the bubble, staying active, and yeah, definitely like bonding. You know, seeing the whole Run With Us series on YouTube or like Bulls.com, you can watch it. Yeah, so. Yeah, but I believe, you know, with Williams, he can fit in, like, well. It's just on the court is a question right there. And, yeah, so toss it back to CJ.
Yeah, I think let's pivot to on our topic. Like you said, you are not a fan of Coach Boylan. We couldn't stand him either. What do you think of Coach Donovan? Are you happy with the choice or angry or what are your thoughts?
It's just, you can't get worse than Jim Boylan, and
agreed.
Billy Donovan is going to be fine. It's going to be good. We have a good core. I mean, if we have to lose one more year, I'm okay with it. Like, if we lose, and we have to lose bad, though, I cannot be a middle-of-the-pack team. I need to see some type of
growth
direction, because a lot of teams, like, if you think about it, like, the Jazz are notorious for this. The Nuggets were until they just are amazing at drafting. There's a lot of teams that like to be middle of the pack because you never know when you could be one piece away, blah, blah, blah. I don't like that as a fan because it's like, I need to be mentally prepared for, is my team going to compete or are we trying to get a draft pick? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
And I think, and that didn't answer your question, but I think that Billy Donovan, we're going to compete. So I like that. Even if we're young and we're not going to win the finals, we're going to compete.
Love hearing that. Yeah. And I was going to go back to, you know, mention the Nuggets, who was one of my picks, at least to, you know, the Final Four to go far, even before that to go far, and being the Heat, you know, being the backup choice for me. And my pick to win as well, and just believing in them, which, you know, another young team, you know, they're proven themselves, that, you know, they can produce, if you will. But, yeah, I was going to ask you about thoughts just briefly on how, like, the Suns, you know, not for the Bulls having, like, a second bubble, like, being the point of having, you know, the Suns, with, you know, existing, like, with their record, like, they still went into the bubble, yet went undefeated, yet they didn't get a chance to in the playoffs, so that is quite...
I just don't understand how that system happens to where you let this team in the bubble, and you knew, like, these people knew that they could win out, obviously. Like, they're the ones making all the money. They made the bubble. They crunched the numbers. And they knew that the Suns could have won out in a scenario and not made it. Why let them in? Because that's just so unfair to them. You got to reward them, I feel like, if they do that. Like, they won out. They could not have done anything differently in that system.
Yeah, I agree. The Grizzlies played really poor, and they made it due to mathematics. Like, but they didn't deserve to go.
Right.
Yeah, I know, and I get it. It just sucks. I would be so mad if I was a fan. It's just like you're watching your team play the best basketball you have in years, like years. And now you're telling me I can't make the playoffs. I get it, but that's kind of a weak mentality on my part, but it's at the same time it's like you feel bad for those people, cuz I mean, it just must have taken every ounce of them to even get that far, and they didn't. Nothing came out of it.
Yeah, it's ever since the Steve Nash days, and they're a contender, and now he's a coach. Yeah, afterwards they're like, they might have not won or not got a spot in the playoffs, which I believe they earned.
Right,
and that they're going to be a team to watch. So. Yeah, that's the thing, like, yeah. It's crazy, I kind of, like, little perspective, like, you know how coaches will say, yeah, many different sports, like, win or lose, you know, we're still going to be, you know, it's all for us to, you know, take it in and really, you know, learn it enjoy being out there and everything. So I guess that part they'll take, and you know, they could be something. The best they can be, they can do is be the best for you know, the next season. So
yeah, no, for sure.
And I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited for the future, at least for now, until something irritates me. But for now, I'm pretty excited for the future of Bulls basketball.
I think we have time for a little bit, like one more talking point. So this is a big one, but where do you think James Harden is going to land up?
I think he is going to leave the Rockets because it just seems like it's felt like this for a while that they aren't going to pass the hump. And I was a big Harden hater too. And when I saw him before Chris Paul, where he took over point guard rules and had it, or he took over like as the point guard, and then he ended up having an MVP season. I was all in on him. I was like, this guy's insane. This guy is unbelievable. I didn't think he could do it. But, I mean, then he gets Chris Paul. I'm a big Chris Paul hater, too. And I'm just like, I was on the Rockets. And I just didn't really like the dynamic that they brought together. And they proved me wrong. They're like, they were about to beat the Warriors. And when they didn't beat the Warriors, I think at that moment was when Harden and the Rockets, I was like, he's never winning a title. If he can't win it that year where they were up 3-2 or whatever it was, like, 3-1, he's never going to win it with them.
Yeah,
I hate Westbrook, and I've said I hate so many players. I love Chris Paul now, love Harden, but I really dislike Westbrook, and I don't think he's going to win a final. So when they joined together, I knew they weren't going to do anything.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're a good match.
No, Westbrook isn't a good match with really anybody. He plays basketball with all his heart and stuff, but it's not his era. Got to be able to shoot the ball.
Yeah, last time being in OKC is best today. And I was just going to ask about one more from me for your opinion on Jimmy Butler.
Just in general?
Yep.
I love Jimmy Butler. Being a Bulls fan, love him. I loved what we got from him in the trade when we gave him away. We got Markkanen, and I thought Chris Dunn was going to be good, but still, I think everybody knew Jimmy Butler was done with the Bulls. So, I mean, we got what we needed from him, and I didn't know what to expect. And then when he went to the Heat, I definitely didn't think he was this type of player and leader. So I really respect him, and I love stories about leadership and good teammates, just being a basketball guy. But it was great to see him, you know, thrive when we couldn't give that to him on the Bulls.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was definitely a quality player. Person who's super competitive and also very good. I'm happy that he was able to prove that he can, you know, be the leader. And
right.
Also, especially this year. And that sign with a a big, big, not be as they say with like, you know, super team. He wanted to do it basically from the ground up. He throw those different things around, and he's definitely proved many wrong. And it's definitely exciting to see him under this heat year of a heat culture, just a young team, and him, he's now crazy as sounds, he's a veteran, and I'm excited for him. Just
yeah, me too, for sure.
Well, thanks, Neil, for joining us here on the Bullhawk Sports Show. We had a great time talking with
thanks,
you.
Neil.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me. It was good to talk to you again, Colin, and it was nice to meet you. It's just if you guys ever need to talk or ever want to talk sports, I'd love to get away from the tire and wheel talk for a little bit.
Yeah, we'd love to have you again.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. All right. See you guys. Have a good night, man.
See ya.
See ya. Take it easy. Enjoy your time with family.
That was a awesome sit down and conversation with Neil O'Donnell. We were interns together with the SoCal Catch Baseball Club in 2018. And fun fact, I did not really know Neil at all, even though we both went to Concordia. I didn't know him really until we were at the SoCal Catch together. And then once I started seeing him on campus, I knew who he was. But before then, I didn't know.
That's intriguing. Yeah, it's quite nice to have those types of connections, and then might not be, I'd say the time might not be right, or you haven't had your moment with your friend, new friend or whatever, and that time eventually it comes, and it's quite cool when that happens, and I've definitely noticed that. For myself as well.
Well, this brings it to a close in our segment on the Block Sports Show. Stay tuned for probably the last 10 minutes of part two, maybe 20 minutes. We'll focus on our Chicago Bears talk for the week, where we'll dissect the Bears' embarrassing, horrible loss to the Minnesota Vikings. And we'll probably preview a little bit of the upcoming game next Sunday against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
And thanks for joining us here. Greatly enjoyed this 50th celebration. And we probably have some more to come after this part two, but stay tuned for more here on the Bulldog Sports Show. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Welcome, one and all, to this new segment on the Bulldog Sports Show. I'm CG Ock, and in the background is my one and only co-host, DJ Benny, the amazing Bull.
Yes, as of now, I am the co-host to CJ Hawk. Yeah, our tone has kind of changed because we are, quite frankly, disappointed at the recent results.
Yes.
The recent, disaster that a couple things with the Bears.
Yep. So this is the last part of part two of the 50th episode featuring our explosive, and honestly, one of my favorite interviews so far with Neil O'Donnell. We talked to him for about 30, 40 minutes, had a great time. And this is the last 5-10 minutes of this part two. And then part three will be coming out after that. We're going to see what we can get for that. Very excited. And also we have an upcoming bonus episode, which is pretty much this week's episode, because episode 50 won't be coming out until next week, most likely. So this one, we're going to be talking with Jack O'Hara. It'll be his fourth time.
Yeah, this will come after the fact.
Right. This will come. Jack O'Hara, so excited for that. So let's get into the talk.
Yeah. You'll hear this one after this week.
Right. Now to the Bears. This is the recap from Monday night's game between the Vikings and the Bears. And disappointed is probably the word that sums up best for me. Was I furious? Was I throwing stuff at the TV? Was I going beep? No. Mainly, I knew the Bears had a big problem. Our offensive line has been, I use the word abysmal often, but worse than abysmal. Just worse than that. And our quarterback play has been very poor as of late, with Nick Foles struggling immensely. And with the Vikings coming in hot, they've looked really good in the past few weeks. Whereas they had a 1-5 record, now they're 4-5. spoiler alert, the Bears were 5-1, now 5-5. So you can tell how trajectories can change at a moment's notice. The Vikings were left for dead. DOA, dead on arrival. The Bears were unbelievable. Now the Bears are awful. So you can see how stuff changes in a few weeks.
Crack like Keem feels Miami Vice inspired.
That's funny.
Yeah, we literally had our heart taken straight out of us at one point.
Yep.
So that became the number 4 trending search on Yahoo. Just so you know.
So let's get into this bad game. So it started off Vikings.
And the number 4 is a really horrible number.
Yes.
In my culture.
So let's get into this. Beginning of the game, Vikings started with the football. Had some penalties, passes, short runs, short passes. Kirk Cousins doing what he does best, short passes down the middle. And he can definitely take advantage of that when he has great pass catchers, such as Adam Thielen, one of the best in the game. Kyle Rudolph, great tight end. Brand new Jefferson. Wow. As an Eagles fan, I am disgusted they didn't draft him. What was their reasoning behind that? Why didn't they draft Jefferson? He's looked great. Whereas the guys they draft can't catch to save themselves. The Bears have that same problem with awful receiving core. But let's get into it. They drafted Cole Kmet. I think they should have drafted Jefferson. That was a big mistake. I don't know what they're doing. But I'm not Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy. So let's get into it. Passes, get some runs. They got closer to the Bears zone with a pass to Kyle Rudolph for 12 yards, but Kyle Rudolph fumbled it away. Recovered by the Chicago Bears. Tashaun Gibson covered it at the 27. Upheld play. Bears got the turnover. That's what the Bears do best. We may not look sexy on offense at all, but on defense, we do look sexy. So we got that fumble recovery. Nick Foles got onto the field, marched onto the field, had a 0-yard pass to Darnell Mooney. Not starting off good. He could maybe make something happen the next throw, but instead, intercepted. A deep pass intended for Anthony and Consistency Miller was intercepted by Harrison Smith, one of the best. Intercepted it. Nick Foles devastated. 0-for-1-for-2 of an interception and a 0-yard gain. Not looking good. Vikings take over. And Kirk Cousins started to take advantage of the great field position. They were in a really good position on this drive. With a nice 12-yard pass to Bebe to the Chicago 24. Or pass to
Chicago. That's the player that if Kirk Heinrich and DeMarcus Cousins had a baby, they would name it Kirk Cousins.
That's funny. Nice one.
Just trying to light up the mood.
No, I appreciate it.
Our disappointment.
And a great pass to Adam Thielen. This was an awesome catch by Adam Thielen. One-handed, with his right hand, reeled it in. One-handed, touchdown, Adam Thielen. The Vikings were feeling it on that drive. 7-0 Vikings. The Bears got the ball in the next drive. Had some passes. Nick Foles tried to atone for his mistake early on with consecutive 7-yard passes. One to Anthony Robinson, one to our brand new running back, Lamar Miller, the former Texan Pro Bowler, joining the Bears without David Montgomery, who's injured. And Cordell Patterson's mainly a jack of all trades, can play many different positions. We need it, and Ryan Nall is like, whatever. We needed a new guy, so Lamar Miller fit that mold. 7-yard catch. Nice 3-yard pass. Fumbled, but thank goodness Nick Foles recovered it if he had fumbled that and it had been turned over, I would have started throwing stuff for the TV. I would have turned it off. I would have stormed out and left. If they had two turnovers, right, back-to-back drives, I would have been disgusted.
We're cutting in to CJ Hawk throwing a fit.
Yep.
Yeah, I would have to.
And,
being honest,
Nick Foles had some throws. Great 24-yard pass to Anthony Robinson. Brilliant catch by Robinson towards the out-of-bounds area. Another good pass to Cordell Patterson. They got the field goal. Should they have got a touchdown? I think so. But that's been the Bears' problem all year. We do, in some instances, get towards the end zone, red zone. But we can't get in the end zone. We have to settle for field goals. Like this one where the 24-yard field goal should have been a touchdown. We're so close, but yet so far. So 7-3. Vikings punted. Second quarter starts. Bears punt. Vikings. Kirk Cousins had a number of good passes. Great pass to Jefferson, 13 yards. Nice pass to Phelan for 11 yards. But then bad throw by Kirk Cousins. Intercepted by Khalil Mack. Great interception by Mack. He needs to make these big plays for the Bears to even have a shot to win games. He made that happen with interception and the second turnover the Bears had got with the fumble recovery earlier and now the interception. So Bears get the ball. 20-yard pass to Anthony Miller. Great pass. Then bad throws, bad running. Nick Foles started going. Then luckily a field goal happened. So 7-6 at halftime. Could the Bears win this game? They played so poor. Vikings played so poor. But it was only 7-6. And the Bears could win this game if the breaks happened, if everything went right. And it did to start off this third quarter when Cordell Shimmy Speedster Patterson took control with a 104-yard kick return for a touchdown. 13-7 Bears. Cordell Patterson electrified the empty Soldier Field, but wow, Cordell Patterson, awesome. I just sat him down after getting some snacks, and he got that 104-yard return, breaking some records. Congrats to Cordell Patterson, the only offensive bright spot of the whole game. But he made some stuff happen. Then punt by the Vikings. Then the Vikings on the next drive had to settle for a... And you say, why did they get the ball back? That's because there was a fumble by the Vikings, but luckily they recovered it, so they got the ball back. And there was a field goal, some crappy passes, crappy runs, but 37-yard field goal was good. 13-10 Bears. Then the Bears offense said, wait, we're supposed to be good? We didn't know that. Nick Foles, the next drive, horrendous with crap passing. Vikings punted. Bears got the ball. 1 yard, negative yard pass. 1 yard run, incomplete pass, punt. Vikings got the ball back. Got a field goal with excellent 54-yard pass by Kirk Cousins to Jefferson. He lit up the Bears' cornerbacks. He lit up Buster Screen and Jalen Johnson. Great job by Jefferson. He's definitely a guy that I am sad we didn't draft on hindsight. Considering every week it's the same old tale, same old story. Cole Kmet needs more touches. Cole Kmet needs more snaps. And then they never target him ever. So either Matt Nagy's an idiot or he doesn't know what he's doing. But I don't know what the issue is. So, the Bears offense, this is one of the most abysmal performances all year. For the second half, after it concluded, they had barely any yards at all. I want to say it was like 10 total yards. It was one of the most atrocious performances I've ever seen. Kickoff, negative yard sack, horrible run, big mistake to give it to Patterson. Fourth quarter starts, it's close game, 13-13. This is where it could happen. The Bears could get a field goal, win the game, the Vikings could score. And the Vikings took advantage of the Bears' exhausted defense. Nice run by Dalvin Cook. We kept him in check pretty much most of the game. He wasn't able to destroy us. He finished with under 100 yards, but he played a big role later in the game. And he'd been getting gashing Ds lately with over 200 yards in consecutive games, but we were able to keep him relatively in check. Nice 13-yard run again by Dalvin Cook. Nice pass to Rudolph, 22 yards. Nice pass to Jefferson, 14 yards. Vikings got a touchdown to Adam Thielen again. And it was a 19-13 lead for the Vikings. They missed the extra point, the two-point conversion. It failed. So it was a 19-13 lead. Then the Bears imploded. Horrible drive. Then punt. Bears turned it over. This was an embarrassing negative 4-yard pass to Anthony Robinson. 2-yard run, 3-yard run, crap. Punt. Bears turnover and downs yet again. And this is the devastating where this drive, the last drive of the game for the Bears, Nick Foles had a bad incomplete short left pass and was pretty much slammed to the turf and got injured. He had to get carted off the field on a stretcher, gone from the game. Hopefully he's doing okay. Thoughts and prayers and well wishes are given to Nick Foles. And they brought in Tyler Bray, the first stringer. You say, what happened to Mitch Trubisky? He's hurt too, shoulder injury, so he wasn't going to be coming into play. So they brought in Tyler Bray, the first stringer, the 30-year-old. He had a great start to the drive of 18-yard pass to Ryan Nall.
I was about to say, might as well bring in Tyler Hero to save the day.
And Mr. Bray, 18-yard pass to Ryan Nall, great catch. Then Tyler Bray went back down to earth, had one great pass, then an unbelievably bad pass to Komet, way off the mark, then a horrible pass to Robinson, not even close. And finally, the last gasp, the 4th and 10, out of the shotgun, Tyler Bray threw it out of bounds, intended for Cole Komet. Not even close. He didn't even throw it the right direction. He could have thrown it down the field, and maybe someone could have caught it and got a touchdown. But due to the offensive line parting like the Red Sea, he ran out of time and threw it out of bounds, and that was all she wrote. 19-13 loss for the Chicago Bears. Offense, 0 out of 10 yet again. Poor performance. Defense played pretty well. Without them, I don't know what would have happened. The Vikings didn't look fantastic, but it was good enough to beat us. Now, preview of the next game. Bears taking on the Green Bay Packers. Sunday Night Football. Not this Sunday, next Sunday. They take on the Packers. This is a big game. The Packers can pretty much sew up the NFC North with a win. Bears' playoff hopes, which are already very dismal, would be pretty much gone at this point. And to the Vikings, if they take advantage of their weak schedule upcoming, they could in theory be 7-5 and pass the Bears for second in NFC North with 3 good games against some poor teams like the Jaguars, winnable games for them. Whereas the Bears, the chances are going by the wayside as we speak. And could you say that did Bill Lazor, the new offensive coordinator who's calling the plays due to Matt Nagy, he made that big explosive press conference. He said he was ending his play calling, giving that to Bill Lazor. Honestly, it looked pretty very much the same. I didn't notice anything different. They both played bad. So it might be a personnel problem or a coaching problem. I don't really have any good theories on how it can be fixed. Ross and I talked about that last week, and we were honestly at a loss. We gave up some good ideas, tried to find some, but overall, we still think it's a big problem. and the offense didn't come through at all in this game with 6 points because 7 of it was touchdown for Cordell Patterson, so that doesn't count. So 2 close field goals was all they could muster. And we'll see if Mitch Trubisky can come back soon and play the Packers, because Nick Foles probably won't be. If not, it'll be Tyler Bray, and I don't think he'll be very good. So if he's playing, I think we're going to lose every game. If Mitch Trubisky comes back, I think we can win at least 2. And if Nick Foles comes back, I don't know, probably we could win maybe 1 or 2 left. So probably 8-8 is probably the best we can hope for at this point. So thanks for listening to this recap of the Bears Vikings game and preview of the Packers game on Sunday night. Is it a great game for the Bears? Probably lose, but I mean, Sunday Night Football is always fun with Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels, so at least that's something to look forward to as a Bears fan, national TV. And thanks for listening to part 2 of the 50th episode of the Blackhawk Sports Show. DJ Bang the Bull and CJ Hawk signing off.
Yes. We'll be right back.